Hey everybody, welcome to And Another Thing. And today my chatting partner, because I guess she's my guest and my chatting partner, is Sarah Wood. And she writes and she's interesting. She's got all kinds of opinions just like me. So I'm really excited to talk to her. Hey Sarah, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm having a hard time these days. I've been having a hard time for quite a while since Trump got elected, but in the past, I'd say since the Barr report, the Barr summary, not summary, dropped, I've been on edge, and I've been seeing a lot of other people on edge. Have you been feeling that way?
Oh, definitely. It was kind of like this big buildup for a couple of years. We're waiting for all this information, and then all of a sudden we get this 4-page summary, which we know isn't the whole picture, but
Right.
everyone's like running with it, and they're like, "Oh, well, that's it. That's,
That's so
sounds."
incredibly frustrating.
I'm like, "But that's not it."
Oh my God, it's so scary because we have to win 2020. We have to win 2020.
Oh, undoubtedly, that has to be the thing that happens because I cannot do another 4 years with this
No,
person.
none of us can. I mean, this whole you're gonna freaking catch cancer from the sound of windmills? Are you fucking kidding me? He is so stupid. Somebody I know is like, no, Trump isn't stupid. He won. I'm like, well, first of all, he was installed, and he is stupid. I mean, I think that
Stupid.
I've heard that he can't read, but mainly it's because he I think that he has dyslexia. I don't know if that's true, but
Don't, yeah. I feel like people say he's smart because people believe him, but just because people believe someone doesn't make them smart. Like all these people are like, "Oh yeah, he's saying all these things," and I'm like, "Yeah, he is. Those are called lies. Those are the
And
things
he's just got
he's
this
saying."
like, group of adjectives that he likes to stick with, like five of them, and he never strays from those adjectives. Like tremendous is obviously one of his favorite ones. Smart people usually have a varied dialogue and or varied lexicon, and he just doesn't. He's such a fucking idiot.
No, he doesn't
Oh.
have the greatest in history. Everything's in history.
I
I'm like, in the history of the
In the
universe. I'm like,
history
all
of the
right.
world. Oh my God, he's such a jerk.
Okay.
Well, okay, so we're going to talk about two different things today. First, we're going to tackle workplace behavior, but it's got to be prefaced with Biden. And I hate I hate this because as a feminist, I felt that it was important for me to at least weigh in on this. And I made some guy on my Facebook page so angry with me that he stormed off, and I'm trying to take a very nuanced approach because frankly, I don't see what Joe Biden did as some horrible thing. I think that he doesn't understand that certain people have boundaries and that he's going past those boundaries, and it's just that. I mean, it's like it is inappropriate, but it's not inappropriate like, a man hanging out at a playground watching children are inappropriate. It's just inappropriate that, I mean, it would be inappropriate if I were working with a woman and a woman was touchy-feely with me. I don't want
Yeah.
anybody being touchy-feely with me, you
That's
know?
just it. And it wasn't done maliciously, and it wasn't done in a super aggressive way or anything like that, which doesn't make it right. Of
Right.
course not. That's where this is just a very, it's a very
Yeah, I mean
tricky way to look at
it's
it.
just
So
about
I think about back to college. I had a professor, and I really love this professor. And this is going to sound so cliche, but then he comes up behind me and rubs my shoulders, and I'm like,
that's
"Well,
wrong.
that's not right," And it's one of those situations where you're like, "I really like this guy, but that behavior isn't okay."
Right. Yeah, and the other thing that people don't consider is that, there are people who are victims of sexual abuse, and this kind of touching triggers them. And while the person doing the touching might not intend to trigger or hurt or upset anybody, the end result is that person gets triggered or hurt or made to feel uncomfortable. And this whole thing about Biden, what's pissing me off more than anything is that now there's four accusers, and they're accusing him of doing something we've all seen him do for decades. This is not new. Nobody's surprised that Joe Biden is a touchy-feely guy. But what's pissing me off is that liberals they're wanting to jump to his defense because they feel it's a political hit, which I do think it's a political hit. But I also think that it doesn't mean the women who are describing these events are lying about it. They might have been made to feel uncomfortable. And it doesn't matter if you see a picture of her with Bernie touching her arm, because it's not the same as a man coming from behind, sniffing your hair and kissing your head. It's not the same thing. There is a picture circulating of Joe Biden basically doing that to Al Franken. and the look on Al Franken's face is like, woo! And I mean, that's kind of the point. It's like, is he this horrible lech? No. Is he a sexual assaulter? No. But it's like, just don't do it. And when Democrats or when liberals are dismissing her feelings about this because of the political motivations, that's where I have a problem. I'm on board with the, this is a political hit, and I don't think he should step down. Frankly, personally, I don't think he's going to make it to the nomination, even if none of this happened. But that's me, and I could be wrong. But, you know, it's just, I wish that liberals would calm down about the fact that, you know, or I should say not calm down, but it's like, can't we, like, this is nuanced, and it has two prongs. There's one prong that is, okay, let's believe what she says, but let's not let her tear him down. And then, you know, let's just keep moving on with the election.
I also believe he acknowledged the behavior.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he clearly has boundary issues where he doesn't, maybe he doesn't realize what he's doing is inappropriate, and he's just kind of this touchy-feely person. I mean, there's persons of, you know, any gender that do that,
right?
Which doesn't make it okay. But I do appreciate that he seemed to acknowledge it and was like, I'm going to work towards, you know, correcting this behavior.
Yeah. And that's all I, as long as he says that, I'm good. I don't need any more. If he stops doing it, then problem solved.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, if she felt uncomfortable, you have to be like, okay, she felt uncomfortable, and that's, you know, and him accepting that is part of that. So Yeah,
this isn't the worst thing in the world. And, you know, I mean, when you're at work, you know, I mean, I've been in situations, you know, I've also seen arguments from liberals saying, oh, well, you know, she's a very strong woman and she should have said something at that moment. Well, Hillary Clinton is a strong woman and she didn't say anything when Donald Trump was stalking her on stage. And I think, it, you know, she addressed this on Rachel Maddow, and she basically said, you know, I had this split second to make up my mind about how I was going to deal with this guy. And I chose to, you know, err on the side of caution. I chose to not say anything. In retrospect, I think she regrets that decision, but I can totally understand why she came to it, because, you know, I mean, she was up against this crazy man. She was fully aware he was getting help from Russia. And I think she, even though they believed they would win, I know she saw him as a direct threat to her presidency. And I think she just wanted to be normal and not be, I don't know what the word is. I mean, I guess she might've worried in that split second that she would be accused of being hysterical or something like that.
Yeah. And anything she did in that moment, it would have been painted in a negative light. Like if she had stood up for herself and be like, back off, pal, like that you're being really inappropriate.
Yeah.
Even if she said it in the most simple terms, she would have been like, oh, can you believe that?
Yeah.
She couldn't even handle him standing behind her. Like what? You think she can handle working with leaders across the world if she can't even handle a man standing behind her? Like it would have been spun.
Exactly.
And I understand like that moment where you want to call a man out, but then there's that also just in everyday life, just that feeling of safety. Like I just last week I was walking in Midtown Manhattan, and I had this guy who just kept staring at me as I'm walking next to him. And I kept like looking over and just not making a face. And he just kept looking at me. And all I wanted to do in that moment was like, what the heck are you looking at?
Yeah.
Like, what are you looking at? Can you just back off and leave me alone? But at that same moment, I was like, well, what if I do that? What is he going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a scary proposition.
Yeah.
Well, and most times we don't. I mean, I've been in workplace situations, you know, I was in a situation when I was younger and I'm 6 feet tall and I'm, and then I can be intimidating, and I know that I have a commanding presence. I clearly have a strong voice. And so one of my male managers said to me, there was a Christmas party. I was working at a department store, and so there was a Christmas party, and I said that I didn't want to go. So he called me a sour pussy. And, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, the guy was Filipino, and I believe I don't know where he was raised. And perhaps he was saying that without realizing that pussy, you know, had a negative connotation in the way that he said it. But again, here I was in a situation where it was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to school him on this? Does he realize mm-hmm. that, you know, because there's a sourpuss idea and he calls me a sour pussy? Did he just get it confused? Was he purposely saying that to piss me off? And I didn't know, you know, and I chose yeah. not to say anything because I just felt like, what's the difference? You know, I'm going to start a fight with this guy and he already doesn't like me because I'm not a team player. You know, I don't want to go to the Christmas party. And so, you know, I mean, there have been occasions where, I mean, there was this one occasion. I was working for this oil company and it didn't last for very long. It was not a fun job, but my goal or my job description was ever changing. And initially I was hired to just sell oil, and then I started selling fuel. And then there was an offshoot kind of like sister company that cleaned oil. And, so I took it upon myself. It was oil filtration. I took it upon myself to, you know, I went to a water and power company, excuse me, and I found the guy I needed to talk to, and I had some pamphlets, and it was I used a very simple explanation about how he could conserve his hydraulic oil. And there was this machine that was $30,000, and you would hook up to your, you know, to your whatever you had your oil in, and it would clean it, and it would make that oil last longer. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, can I have some pamphlets? Can you give me some information on this? And he did. And I went and I sold the product. And no other salesperson in the company had ever done anything like that. So the guy who headed up the sister company, the oil filtration side, he was a real alpha. Real, like, he reminds me of, oh God, what's that guy's name? Sam, the guy who played Gar in Mask. What's that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Samuel. I can't think. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, he's very masculine. And Sam Elliott, that's who I'm thinking of. Oh, anyway, okay. So, and he was actually a nice looking man. And little, probably at the time, he was maybe 50. And so I went up to him privately and I just said, hey, you know, I sold that machine, and it was his company. And so I said, I sold that machine and I really enjoyed doing that. And I would like to continue selling machines. So would it be possible for you, you know, to like give me an education on these machines so that when I walk in there, I really know what I'm talking about and I sound like an expert. And he says to me, he goes, yeah, you definitely need to know what you're talking about. You can't just go in there like a bimbo and try to sell something. And I was like floored. I had sold this machine on my own with no help from him at all. And then I'm referred to, I mean, he didn't directly call me a bimbo, but I mean, he suggested that I was one. Yeah. And I was fucking livid. And, you know, I mean, I didn't say anything at that point, but I left and I thought about it over the weekend. And the funny thing is in this situation, this actually worked to my benefit because I called him like on Monday morning. And I was very calm, and I just explained to him, I said, you know, what you said to me was offensive. I realized that you didn't intend it to be offensive, but I had just accomplished something no one else ever has in this company. And I did it with no help from you. And for you to suggest that if I were to go into the next account that I'm a bimbo was wrong, and it's sexist, and I don't think you should do it to me or any other employee. And he was like dumbfounded. He couldn't believe that I, you know, I was very, like I said, calm. I wasn't mean. I didn't hurl accusations. I just told him how I felt. And it was so funny because after that moment, for the remainder of the time that I worked there, he wouldn't look me in the eye. And he just like, he would avoid me at all costs. And I thought it was funny. And I did stand up for myself in that instance, but it took the entire weekend. I called my mother, I called my father, I called my friends. I was churning, my stomach was churning. It wasn't easy for me. It would have been easier to let it go, but I just couldn't,
yeah,
you know?
No. I had a moment in a previous job where I didn't take the time to approach it in a more professional manner, where I was sat down with an employer and they told me that I wouldn't intellectually understand something.
Oh my God.
So I, in that moment, I was like, what? I'm like, is that just another way to call me stupid? Basically, like, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't intellectually understand this. I'm like, what does that even mean? So I kind of, you know, got a little heated, as I do. and then to top it off, I'm called emotional. So then I went from being called stupid to also being called emotional because I called out being called stupid. So it was just, but it was a similar situation where that boss, from that moment on, we just did not get along, couldn't make similarly, barely any eye contact. It was just, it wasn't a very good, good work environment. So.
Well, women understand this. I mean, I'm sure some men do too, but I mean, it's so common with women that if we dare speak up for ourselves in a situation that makes us uncomfortable at work, we're the ones who have to pay that price. You know, and it's like, there was this guy also, I used to sell industrial chemicals, and I serviced California, Department of Transportation, Caltrans. And they were, I mean, it was a governmental agency, so they all had to go through, sexual harassment training, and it was, and most of the men that I worked for, almost all of them, with the exception of one, they all behaved, you know, I mean, if they didn't want to behave, they understood they had to behave, so they did. But there was this one guy that I used to go to all the time, and he would always say to me that he would give me bigger orders if I came in with a white tank top and no bra. And so I just had to fucking put up with him. And the thing about it was, you know, he always did give me orders. He never touched me. He never suggested that, you know, we trade sex for orders, and he would refer me to other people. So for me, he was a very important contact and a very important client, but I always had to put up with his, you know, he also told me about, I'm just trying, this was years ago, he made some kind of comment about his stepdaughter and something about showering with her or something. It was very inappropriate. Oh. And, you know, and I said nothing because I had, you know, there were many different accounts in Caltrans that I would call on, and I didn't, you know, I know if that I, if I would have said something about him, I would have been viewed as a troublemaker, and I probably would have lost all the other accounts that I had, you know. And there was this other guy, and this one's my favorite. There was this guy that I used to see. He was like an independent. It wasn't like multiple maintenance yards. It was just this one company that I would go to, and I worked with this guy many times. And so he's sitting there, and he's one day, you know, I'm waiting to get my order. And we're chatting because the guys like to chat first. So he's basically telling me that he cheats on his wife and he's got, you know, this girlfriend and that girlfriend. And then he gets very serious and he tells me that when he starts up an affair, he needs to have proof from the doctor that this woman that he's going to be having an affair with doesn't have a sexually transmitted infection, because if she did, he would literally kill her.
Oh,
and so,
God.
I know, I was like, okay, I didn't know what to say. And then he says, he gets really serious, and he puts his head down, and he goes, I'm very oral, and that's why I need to see a doctor's report. And it's like, I'm like floored. I'm in this office, and I'm like, do you want to see our lube? I mean, you know, it's like, I didn't know how to change the conversation. I figured it out and I got out of that situation somehow. And I just, it's like, now what do I do? If I go complain about him, it's my word against his. I'm going to lose the customer, and word can still get around because they all know each other. So I was put in a position where I had to endure this. I mean, this is not what, you know, touching or anything like that, but it still falls under what is appropriate and not appropriate. And it is not appropriate to be talking to your salesperson. And you have that power because that salesperson wants something from you. You know, they have a product that you can get anywhere. So as a salesperson, I'm kind of like, I have to deal with whatever they're going to put me through. And in this particular case, and in the case with the other guy, it's like, they were basically sexually harassing me. They didn't think they were. But that's not the point. They were sexually harassing me. Now, did I like curl up and die afterward? No. I mean, I'm a strong person. I can deal with it, but I shouldn't have to deal with it. And that's the point.
Yeah. And that is the greater point, is that these guys, they might not even necessarily realize that they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger problem, is that it's so ingrained that type of behavior is accepted amongst maybe themselves, that they don't even realize what they're doing isn't okay.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, I don't think they really thought that way. And, you know, again, if I'm going to bring it up, hey, that behavior, that wording, whatever you say, isn't really appropriate and it's making me uncomfortable, well, then now I'm the bitch. I'm the wet blanket. I'm the one they don't want to work with anymore. So I pay the price. I pay the price because they don't get it and they don't want to get it and they feel defensive when you bring it up. And that's what's got to change.
Yeah, the defensive thing is very real. they don't want to think that they're doing anything wrong. So they're going to be like, yeah, they're going to make it all about us.
Yeah. And they always do. I mean, every once in a while, you're fortunate to get, you know, someone who says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I mean, you know, it's like one of the things Joe Biden said that I guess you could consider problematic is that, you know, he said, I never thought what I did was upsetting. And it's like, well, it's not about what you thought. It's about how they thought. So it's like always in any workplace situation, assume nobody wants to be touched or kissed. Assume that you shouldn't tell sexual jokes or talk about your private sexual life. I mean, it just doesn't, I mean, it's, would you talk about this with, you know, people at your church or children or, you know, just some random stranger on the street? You shouldn't talk about it at work. It's just, I had a conversation with somebody that I know and she, you know, she kept saying, well, that's just, you know, that's just how he is. And that's how it was in the 90s. And I'm like, well, it's not the 90s anymore. And why is it so difficult for people to understand that what is okay for one person is not okay for another person? So since the person who is getting touched or getting kissed is the one to those are the people who need to decide what's okay, not the people who are touching and kissing. It's not up to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very frustrating because these people are liberal, they're smart, and they're just, I think it's because it's this case, because they're seeing a smear campaign on a candidate, possible candidate, potential candidate that, you know, that's going to be announcing, and they don't want him to be kicked out of the race for this. And neither do I.
Yeah. You know? And I've seen a lot of people bring up Al Franken.
Yeah.
And I think the difference too with Al Franken was he did it on he put his hands on a woman's breast, I mean, over a flak jacket, but she was asleep and mm-hmm. it was as a joke. And I don't know, some people think it got blown up. I don't think it was proper behavior. And was it a joke? Like, I don't know if that woman didn't like that behavior, that's up to her.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, I've always wondered about that because it's a USO tour and it's already kind of raunchy to begin with. And I've heard, and of course we don't know because there was never an investigation done, that was a joke and that she was part of it and faking sleeping. And he was like, ha ha ha, you know, like, I'm going to grab her. And, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, I just watched.
And if that was the case, then we don't. Yeah.
Right. And I just watched Kristen Gillibrand talking to, I don't remember if it was Chris Hayes last night, but, it was Chris Matthews. And she had said something about there were 8 credible women coming out against Franken, and one of them was somebody who worked in Congress, you know, like a congressional aide. It was a little different, but I just think with Joe Biden, his behavior again, I mean, it's certainly not anything that he should have to leave the race. I don't want this to soil his reputation. I just, you know, I just would love this to be a teachable moment for everybody because this, a woman could do the same. You know, I mean, I've had women who I work with ask me if Jesus is my savior. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's not appropriate to ask at work. You know, it's like, it's none of your business. My religious preferences or how I feel spiritually, you know, if I choose to share that with you, it's one thing, but for you to, you know, start asking me about Jesus, it's just not appropriate. So, I mean, there's a lot of, I think there's a very broad field of how we should conduct ourselves in a workplace or even a social situation. I mean, I think it might be a little bit more understandable if you're in a social situation that maybe somebody could bring up religion or something like that, but certainly not at work. And, you know, that this goes two ways. It could be a man or a woman. It could be a man who's touching you. It could be a woman who's touching you. I mean, you know, there could be a woman who's in a power position. And I mean, there was that movie, I don't know if you remember it, but it was, I think it was back in the 80s with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore. And she was his boss and she was, you know, basically forcing him to have sex with her to get him to do whatever she wanted. And I don't know how common that is. It was like turning the tables on the idea that men do this to women. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it can happen. It doesn't matter your gender. It's just, you know, you shouldn't have to, you know, when you're at work, I think you just need to be able to quickly understand that there's certain things you just can't talk about. There's certain behavior, you know, physical behavior you shouldn't engage in. I don't think it's like not rocket science, but it seems
and
to be.
And it's not hard to be a good person and just like have a professional relationship and regular workplace conversations. It's not hard. So
no.
I don't understand.
Yeah. This person I spoke to yesterday said, well, what are we supposed to like all be robots and not be human to each other? I said, why do you think kissing and embracing is the only opportunity to show that you're kind to someone? I said, you know, I can be, I've had many work positive work relationships without ever embracing or kissing that person.
Exactly. I've worked with several men over the years and like, yep, no problems, nothing, just regular banter. You talk about whatever, you
yeah.
know.
And I
makes you feel uncomfortable.
I would like to take this opportunity to point out that I worked for a company with two male managers who were conservative. They used to give me all kinds of shit about Nancy Pelosi, but that was kind of fun. You know, they were doing it in a, like they were just prodding me because they knew I was a liberal and they were never mean. They just teased me. But those two men, and I'm emphasizing conservative just because obviously, you know, we bag on them so much, but they were two of the most wonderful managers I've ever had. They were considerate of me. They were, and considerate of everybody. They never ever once did anything inappropriate. They never once said anything that was, you know, could be considered sexual harassment. So, you know, and I point them out specifically because clearly it can be done. You know, it was funny too, because I was an outside sales rep and one of them, there was like the manager of the entire, I don't know. It was basically a janitorial supply. I've had some crazy fucking jobs. But anyway, so this guy, he was the branch manager, and then there was the sales manager. So the sales manager and I would go out, and we would, you know, be in the car, and I'm fairly raunchy. And so, I mean, when he got comfortable and he understood that I could handle, like, he had this some CD or something like that, and it there was some profanity and a few other things on it. And he played it for me and it was funny. You know what I mean? But he asked me and he told me, he's like, look, I've got the CD. It's probably a little inappropriate. Do you care? And I said, no. And it was great because he asked me and it's like, it's just that simple. You know, I mean, they were both wonderful guys. We disagreed politically. But they got boundaries and I just, it's like, let's all get the boundaries. Let's all understand it. It's not hard.
Yeah, it's not hard. I mean, when I lived in Los Angeles, I was a nanny, and that's like the most cliche job where you might have inappropriate behavior, like with like a father or something, because it happens a lot. And,
yeah.
But I never once. I mean, granted, I am gay, so I had been joked with, and like. But I always had this ongoing joke where I'm always hired because I'm a lesbian. And
oh, right.
The moms aren't worried about the fathers.
Right.
But anyway, I never once had an issue with any family I worked for, and like with the dad or with mom or anything. So I'm just like, it's possible to have professional relationships without things getting weird.
Yes, it is. It is. And I don't know. I just hope that we can all kind of calm down. It's been upsetting for me to deal with all of this because people are kind of glossing over what I think is important is just, you know, stressing what's appropriate as opposed to making this all about Biden. Because I'm like, I'm so ready to move on from this. I don't give a shit how many more accusers there are saying he made me feel uncomfortable because he hugged me, he embraced me, whatever. It's like, okay, we all know he does it. This is not a secret. Let's just move on and not let this become, I'm not even paying any attention to the additional two accusers. And it's not to say that I don't give credit to what they felt, but I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore. We know what he's done. We've seen him do it to men. We've seen him do it to women. I'm sure there are other women out there that have been made to feel uncomfortable by this. And hopefully the fact that it's been brought to light can help us to just move on to, you know, understand that there are boundaries and then move on. That's what I would like.
Yeah. And he's acknowledged it. It's not like with Trump where Trump just denies that he did anything wrong and calls it a locker room talk when he, you know, says other things. Like he just completely denies it. Biden's acknowledged it. And he's been like, I'm sorry if I've made people uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
So Yeah, it does. I feel like this might be coming from the left too, and my own conspiracy theories about
me too.
That,
I think that's what it is. I think the same thing with all the rumors going on. I'm not exactly sure who it's coming from. I don't know. I can't pinpoint a person, and I won't pinpoint a person, but I think we all know what we're talking about here. So, you know, we'll see what happens as we move forward. But that leads me into the other thing that we're going to talk about, which is toxic masculinity. I know you like to focus on this a lot, so I'm going to let you just start talking about this now.
Oh, God. Well, my whole thing is when I see people talk about toxic people that say they don't believe in toxic masculinity, or they try to be like, oh, you're trying to take away men's manliness, you're trying to take away their masculinity, you're trying to turn everyone into like women, you're trying, like, I'm just like, which wouldn't be a terrible thing, but it's just so funny because I'm just like, we're not, can I swear? I don't know if I can.
Of course. Oh yes, I've been swearing the whole time.
Okay, it's not that we don't, We're not telling men not to be men or like manly or anything like that. We're asking them not to be assholes. Like,
right.
we're that's really all we're asking them to do. We're asking them not to be jerks. Like, just be a great guy. Like, one of the examples I love is my brother. My brother was a Marine. He's very tall. I'm 6 foot. He's taller than me. And he's like this big guy. He's got a beard and he's super manly. Right. but he is the sweetest, most kind and considerate person I think I've ever met. So I'm just like, that's all we're asking. You don't have to get rid of your like brute manliness. Like, you can still be like the brawny paper towel guy. but you don't have to be an asshole.
Right. Well, I mean, Bob Seska, my boyfriend, he's 6'4". He's very muscular. And I've got to say he's a full on feminist. And when I say feminist, I mean, he understands that, there is inequality, and he also understands that, like, if I have an issue, whether it's this Biden thing or whatever it is, and I talk to him about it, he doesn't fight me and try to explain things to me. He doesn't try to tell me how I'm feeling. He may disagree with something I say and we can talk it out, but he is kind and he's considerate, and, you know, I mean, he's a manly man. I mean, he's a nerd. You know, he loves all his, you know, Star Wars stuff and his Marvel comics and stuff like that. But I mean, he's a ruggedly handsome, strong man who I would never say is, you know, lacking masculinity. But I think with toxic masculinity, I kind of think in terms also of the way men are told they should behave. You know, like, for instance, when I think part of what toxic masculinity is if you've got a group of men who are alone and they're talking and they think it's funny to joke about raping a woman, or if they talk to, you know, in a way that they're painting women as sluts, who, you know, women who maybe like sex or something like that. You know, women get together and we talk about men. We talk about sex. And if, you know, if we're with a guy that's bad in bed, we're going to talk about it or whatever, but it's, you know, and I think there's this difference of degrading women. And it's not to say that women don't degrade men, because of course they do, but there's a bigger picture here with the toxic masculinity that men are told that they're supposed to feel a certain way about a certain thing. And then if they're all together and they're talking about something, let's just say they're calling somebody a slut. And there's another guy who thinks, oh, I don't think that's appropriate, but he doesn't say anything. I think that's all part of this toxic culture that makes men feel they have to either behave or accept this behavior that is degrading toward women. You know, and they're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to be emotional. They're supposed to, you know, be the strong person who takes care of the woman. It's like these traditional roles that they're forced into believing. And if they go off of that path, then they're accused of being weak, or they're accused of being homosexuals, which is used as a insult. You know, it's like using that term as an insult to describe a man. And I feel like,
that's, or calling them a girl, like, you're just being a woman.
Right,
like,
as an insult.
Not being a woman.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, what? Like, what's, what's wrong with being a woman? But yeah, no, but I get what you're saying. And it's, I feel like it's so ingrained with these people, this underlying misogyny that they just, it's so like part of them. It's part of that culture. It's part of that, you know, being a man, you don't cry, boys don't cry. And
yeah.
They do. And if they do a bad behavior, then there are so many people, even women, that make excuses for like, oh, it's boys being boys. And
right.
I'm like, that doesn't mean, like, boys being boys, like, what does that mean? So we're just supposed to accept that mm-hmm. boys can be assholes, and like, and then girls have to be this like perfect example of a human. I don't understand, like, why can't we just be good humans, all of us? Like,
exactly.
Good humans.
It seems like it's easy, but it's not, because our culture, it's not just our culture, but our culture really struggles with it. And it's getting worse with Trump as president, because I mean, I feel like, you know, we're just going backwards.
Yeah, he's enabling people, and he's emboldening them to be the biggest jerks they can be, because now they're like, they feel like they have this giant permission slip, because like, he was elected into power and he is this like perfect example of a toxic man.
Yeah.
They're like, well, if he can do it, I'm going to do it. People like him, they're going to like me. And it's like, God, no. Well,
right. And then there, like there are shades of it too, because I mean, you know, we always like to equate misogyny with the right, but there's plenty of misogyny on the left, and there's degrees.
Absolutely.
You know, there's shades of it. I mean, obviously you're a lesbian, so your experiences with sex are not with men, but my experiences with sex, this comes into play, because I mean, for the most part, men don't know how to give an orgasm. They just don't. Usually an orgasm comes from oral sex, and even the ones that performed oral sex on me, there were only two, outside of my current boyfriend, who knew how to get me there. And those two only did it like once or twice in the whole time that I knew him. And
oh, no.
Yeah. And so it sucks, because what winds up happening is, as a woman, you don't speak up. You don't say you're not giving me an orgasm. And there's many, many men. And I think this falls into the toxic masculinity thing, because women are afraid that if they say you're not giving me an orgasm to some guy that they really, really, really like, you know, they want his affection, they want his attention. I'll give you an example. I had a girlfriend who was with this man, and she was with him for a very long time. And I guess there was this one instance he was going down on her and it wasn't happening. And she didn't even have to say anything. He could just tell that it wasn't happening. And he got all pissed off and threw a fit and left the room.
Oh my God.
So yeah. I mean, how are you,
immaturity.
How do you process that as a woman? I mean, it's like, the obvious answer is that's his problem. But when you're in a relationship and it's complicated and there are emotions involved, you start feeling like almost guilty, or then what it does is it makes you afraid to say something. You don't want to speak up. And
yeah. So sex basically is over when the man is done.
Yeah.
And then if she can't get there, she doesn't say anything, because that's also going to hurt his feelings. So the entire sexual experience is completely surrounded around him, his mm-hmm. orgasm, and his feelings.
And his feelings. Exactly. Because God forbid you say, I haven't had an orgasm. And the worst part about it is, if you've been going out with a guy for some time and it hasn't happened, and you bring it up to him in a year in, you're basically admitting, I've been faking it this whole time. And then their feelings get hurt. And I've always, you know, Bob and I talk about this, and I think the way around that is to kind of say, let's experiment. You know, I'd like you to try this. And maybe, you know, they can both find that happy spot. And then you can say, keep doing that, you know, whatever it is. But the more important thing is that I would love for men to just be a little bit more open, because usually bringing this up to men, they're like, no, I know how to do it. You know, and it goes back.
It's an ego thing.
It is an ego thing. And it goes right back to the Harry Met Sally thing. You know, it's like, oh, every woman I've been with has had one. And then she does the fake orgasm thing. And he's like, oh. So, you know, yeah, I think most women have faked orgasms with men. And some men know what they're doing. Most do not. I wish men would just be a little bit more open to it. And I feel that, you know, at least not criticism, but guidance, open to the guidance. And like, you know, I mean, instead of saying to your woman, hey, am I pleasing you? And if you're prepared for no, then that's great. But understand that a woman might not be comfortable saying no. I think the easier solution is just to say, again, let's experiment. Let's play around and see. Tell me if you think this feels good. Tell me if you like this. Sometimes people like harder pressure. Sometimes people like lighter pressure. Everybody's different. So, of course, I wind up talking about orgasms.
Well, I'm just sitting here just like, I've been in a very long-term relationship with my partner, and I'm just going back and I'm just thinking, I'm like, I've never faked it. Like, I've never faked it. And I would say, yeah, I she would be horrified if she knew I was talking about this. But I'll just stop there. But I'm just saying, like, the percentages of, I think, like, the couples that have the most orgasms, it's like lesbians have the most orgasms.
Yes.
because we communicate, and it's never a thing. It's like sex is done when you're both done.
Right.
Like that. And like, if there's some underlying experience, like somebody's too drunk and they can't get
right.
there, well, then that's like an external thing. And at that point, you're just like, oh, I'm too drunk, and then whatever. And like, nobody's offended.
Right, exactly. And I just, yeah, I mean, I've fortunately in my current relationship, I've had the same experience as you. But really, I mean, I met Bob when I was 47 years old. And, you know, only two men knew what they were doing. And they knew what they were doing. It's just that I wasn't always able to get there for what one reason or another. But it was only, you know, one or two times that it happened. So it kind of sucks, but I think it does fall back into this toxic masculinity conversation, because it's the idea that if you bring up to a man that you need more or a different kind of stimulation, then he gets upset about it, and then it's conversation over. It might even be relationship over, because there are and there are too many women who don't speak up. And so these men who don't like criticism will just go find a woman who will stay quiet. And a lot of them do. I put a lot of the blame, I guess you could say, on women. And I get why women don't speak up, but we're not all going to be having orgasms for men unless we all speak up about it. You know, and find that, you know, like middle of the road where you're not offended and I'm not upset, and we can just explore our sexuality and find out, you know, what works for both of us. That's like a positive way to deal with it. But, you know, I mean, and when you watch movies, every, you know, even Sex and the City was man is on top of woman, man mm-hmm. has orgasm, sex is over.
Yeah,
or, you know, she's on top of him, but.
Yeah, and that's what people, and that's what younger girls will see, and that's what they'll think that sex is. And I was reading some statistic that some women have like never, there's a percentage of women, I forgot the percentage, that have never had an orgasm. And I'm
yeah.
just like, that is so remarkably sad.
It is remarkably
sad. I'm just like, oh my, like what you're missing out on.
I know. I know. I don't, I mean, did it say that they didn't have an orgasm with somebody else or at all?
There was one, I think, well, I was watching this other documentary. Of course, I was watching a documentary about this. And this girl, she didn't have it until she finally, like, did it to herself.
Wow.
And then and I was like, oh, no. Well, at least you know what you're looking for now.
Yeah, well, that's self-pleasure can certainly help you describe to your partner what works for you. I mean, I imagine with lesbians, it's also, you know, we all have the same parts. So although one woman might like, you know, like I said, softer pressure, and another woman might like harder pressure. We're all pretty much the same. And so it's just, it's like a degree of what you like compared to what someone else likes. But like, you have this innate understanding of our own anatomy.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. what works.
No, every pun intended.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just hope that this whole Trump administration thing will lead us to better discussions, more frank discussions, and then just like evolving on these issues, because it is really awful to, you know, I don't know if you happen to see the video that Alyssa Milano put out when she was trying to get something decamped. Did you see that yesterday?
Was that the one where she was talking to the legislator in Georgia?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I watched it and I was so angry. And the basic situation is this: she wanted to hand this, this thing to him, which was a list of all the people who are not going to be, you know, in the show business, who are not going to be working in Georgia as long as this abortion ban, if this abortion ban gets signed by Kemp. And so she wanted to hand deliver it to Kemp, and she was unable to get to him. So she's like in the office, and she had brought with her all of these people, I guess, who lived in Georgia. And they were not allowed in the room that she got into. So she goes in alone, and she's talking to the woman at the desk. And you know, the woman is like, well, no, you can't hand deliver it, and I'll take it. And then this man, I can't remember his last name, but it's Dominic something or other. He was so condescending, and he's looking at her and he goes, and do you live in Georgia? Which district do you live in? And Alyssa's like, no, I don't, but I'm here with all these people. And then he interrupts her again. Which district do you live in again? To prove his point that she doesn't live there and doesn't have a say. And so she points out that she's, you know, here with all these people who work in Georgia and she, in the entertainment and entertainment industry, and that they do vote. And once again, he asks her which district she's in. And she just looked at him like he was an idiot. And she's like, I just told you. And then, you know, she made some comment about, she pointed to him. She goes, this is the kind of man that's legislating my uterus. And I was like, go, Alyssa.
Yeah, yeah, I and, saw that. I was like, yes.
And it was just so, and, you know, I mean, there's so many things that are pissing me off. All day long, I was dealing with fucking Biden and people arguing with me about what's appropriate and what's not. And then, you know, I look at this video and it's, I'm like, my head wants to explode. I'm so sick and tired, and Trump is emboldening these kinds of men to be blatant about it. I mean, yes, we have degrees of misogyny, you know, on the liberal side. But it's nothing like on the right, because on the right, they make no bones about it. They just treat women like shit.
That's just it. On the left, you get it from a certain amount of people, and it's pretty, I want to say, more obvious in your face misogyny. Like, it's just, and you can call it out, and people will kind of back you up. And but on the right, it's just like, it's who they are.
Right.
It's their policy platform. It's what they do. It's like they want to legislate women's bodies. Just a short time ago, and I'm sure they would still love to, they wanted to legislate who I could marry. And it's just like, wow, it's like, that's who they are. They're just, I don't want to say like bad people, but they're bad people. They're not good humans. I am ashamed to say, like, I grew up and I didn't pay attention to politics. And my first election was 2000 my first presidential election when I voted was in 2000. And I voted for George W. Bush. And I'm not proud of that, but I didn't know any better. So I just voted for who my parents voted for and kind of just went with that. And then, you know, by 2004, I was like hardcore Democrat, shaking hands with Kerry, like all about it. But I think there's, and I have to say this, but it's embedded in this. It's a culture where they don't treat women with respect. I know for a fact that the Southern Baptist faith has no women in leadership positions.
Wow.
And they don't even allow women to teach Sunday school. Like, it's just like, I don't know if it's gotten any better, but I know that's what it was. So these people are raised basically to believe that women are second class citizens. Women aren't capable. So when they say like a woman can't be a president, they literally don't think a woman can be a leader. They literally have been raised since birth to believe that women don't know how to lead.
Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen Trump supporters say that about Hillary.
Yeah. So that's like, and that's what they know. So like, I come from a place where like, I wasn't raised Southern Baptist. I was raised like American Baptist, where women, you know, were allowed to do things, but still I only knew what I knew. So I voted for George W. Bush. And it wasn't until like, I, you know, had the wherewithal to educate myself and learn what was actually going on and find myself looking at issues and where I actually felt things like opinions on things like gay marriage and all these things. I was like, wait a second, I'm on the wrong side. I need to. So that's when I like completely went left. That's when people say like, oh, you just don't know. Like you should be a Republican. I'm like, no, I've been there. I've done that. And I realized those aren't the good humans. Yeah. I'm on the side with the good humans that want health care for all, that want affordable education, that want a clean environment. It's like that acknowledge global warming. Like I'm with the good humans. And I can say like people are bad because people aren't necessarily innately bad.
Right.
But maybe they don't know better. And
well, that's it. I mean, I think part of it is that, you know, Republicans continue to cut education. That money never gets replaced. And then you add to the fact that I was just actually interviewing this woman, Tina Cassidy. She wrote a book about Alice Paul and her fight to get the amendment for women to vote. And she had said that she never learned about Alice Paul or the suffragist movement in school, and neither did I. And it's interesting because when I bring this up online, I get challenged by even women saying, really? I learned it, as if I'm lying. I never learned about this. If it was in the history books that I was studying in school, it was a sentence or two. It wasn't even a chapter. I would have remembered this because I have always been a feminist. I mean, I didn't start becoming like an in-your-face feminist until I got online. And I'm not an in-your-face feminist when I walk out to the grocery store or when I go to somebody's house for dinner. I mean, I'm just a normal person. Online, I take a different approach. I take a more aggressive approach with it because I know that there are a lot of women out there who are too afraid to speak up. And if they see a stronger woman speaking up, it gives them a little bit of courage. So I take on that role. And I always have, like in my high school years, I was in debate class. Literally every time I got up in front of the podium, all the boys in the class would roll their eyes like, oh no, here she goes again. And, you know, I mean, I was so outspoken. My mother was a single mother who was also a feminist and took care of business herself. So I can guarantee that if I had, you know, read about Alice Paul and all the shit she went through in order to get me the right to vote, not only would I have been interested, I think it would have made me more interested in voting at an earlier age. And so I think that the educational, you know, like I went to school in Southern California. I started school in Maryland, which was, they have a better education system on the East Coast. In California, it was very obvious the difference because I'd been in Maryland schools up until third grade. Then I went to fourth and fifth and part of sixth grade in California. And then half of my sixth grade year, I came back to Maryland briefly. And I went to school here, and in sixth grade in Los Angeles, I was getting straight A's, and in our, you know, studying math, we were literally learning, like, basic addition, 45 plus 75. When I came back to Maryland, you know, in half the, or I should say in the middle of the year, all of a sudden they're doing reciprocals and long division. Oh, and wow. I was like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I could definitely see the difference in the quality of education. But going back to this point, with Republicans defunding education, never replacing that money, and then add to that toxic right-wing radio and Fox News, you have this culture of people who I think are brainwashed. They're not getting a proper education, and then they're being sold this fear and hatred. And this is what they're going on. And then they believe in their hearts that women can't be in leadership positions.
Absolutely. And you see, when you just think about like the history that we've learned, we basically have learned the white male history of mm-hmm. not just the United States, but the world, like to the point where even religion, many Christians in this country will see a picture of Jesus as a white man. When, like it's from a man, if, you know, Jesus existed in that time where he lived, he was not white.
Right.
That's just obvious.
Even though Megyn Kelly thinks he is.
Oh, Megyn.
I know. Oh, Megyn.
Yeah. She's her own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But it was like, I just think like we're taught such specific things. Like we're taught like the white male history. Like that's yeah. like, it's an, like white male privilege is embedded in who we are as a society. And unless you're like educated to see it, and once you see it, it's all you see.
Yeah.
And, but until then you're not going to see it and you're just going to take it for what it is. Like this is what it is. And I'm just going to live that way. So
right.
I do think it's about lack of being properly educated.
Yeah. And I mean, there are plenty of men that say, what white male privilege? I can't get a job and I don't have any money. And it's like, but they're overlooking the fact that, whatever they've had to deal with, which, you know, there's plenty of white men out there who have tough breaks, who, you know, whatever it is, whether it's violence in their home, whether it's not being able to get a job when they're out of a job, struggling with finances. If you're a black man, it's worse. It's just worse for you because it's easier to get a job. Even, I mean, it goes down to fucking Band-Aids. When you go to a store, do you ever see Band-Aids for black people? And there are some white conservatives that will roll their eyes, specifically chicks on the right, who I can't fucking stand. But I think they even wrote a blog post about this with their big eye roll emoji. You know, like, oh my God, this is what the liberals are complaining about. But it's like, you know, imagine being a black kid and you're only... All you have are bandages for white people. That is a message that goes into your head that somehow you're not quite as good because the people who are making Band-Aids aren't even bothering to worry about something that blends in with your skin. They're only worrying about it for white people.
I've only seen different Band-Aids just in the last couple of years. That's like, that's how long it's gone on. I've only seen it in the last, I saw it at the store the other day and I was like, well, it's about time.
It's about time, yeah.
Yeah, and makeup, in the makeup aisles of stores, it's all for white women.
Yeah.
Like, my, like, I realized my wife, she has brown skin. And she has, like, she has a hard, she would have not as much anymore because it's changing, but she would have a hard time just, like, going, so you just want, like, a little foundation from, like, pick it up at Target or whatever.
Right.
It wasn't there. She had to go to, like, a specialty store and spend, like, 8 times what it costs white people, you know, to find a tone that matches her skin. So it's like, it's not, that's like, it's the privilege that you don't, like, people are so privileged that they don't realize they're privileged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how embedded it is. And it drives me crazy. And it drives me like, and it's not about like being financial, like having lots of money. That's not the privilege we're talking about. We're talking about like, are you able to, as a white man, walk down the street and nobody blinks an eye?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's just...
Or even driving. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, there was an experience I had during the LA riots. And I was living in Los Angeles, but I was living in Glendale, which was far away. It was the night that the riots started. And so Rodney King had been beaten. And I was unaware of any of this. And I was driving home from a friend's house. She lived probably about 7 miles away. So I'd say after I was driving for about a mile, a cop car started following me. And of course, because I had no idea the riots were going on, I just was thinking, what the fuck's happening? And why is this cop following me? And he never pulled me over. He followed me until I got home, and then he left. And then I got home, and I found out that there were riots, and I realized, oh, he saw a woman, a white woman alone driving. So he took it upon himself to basically escort me home so nothing happened to me. And at that time, when I didn't think in terms of white privilege, I thought, wow, that's really awesome. And it was awesome. But would this white cop have done the same for a black woman or a Hispanic woman? You know, I don't know. Maybe this cop would have. But, you know, there was another time when I was driving through Beverly Hills and I was literally doing everything illegal. I was speeding. There were children around. I was not stopping for stop signs. I was late for work. I mean, I wasn't speeding like a mad person, but I was going over the speed limit and I was not putting anybody in danger. You know, there were kids were on the sidewalks, but still there were kids around. So of course this cop comes and he pulls me over and he was kind of cute actually. And I was all dressed up for work and I looked nice. And so I put on my big smile cause I didn't want a ticket. And, he's like, yeah, you're pretty much breaking every law there. And I was like, but I was late for work. You know, I was like trying to be all cutesy. And so basically he said to me, he goes, I'm going to tell you what, today's my birthday, but you're going to get the present. Just go to work. God. You get no ticket. Again, here we are in Beverly Hills and this attractive white policeman pulls me over. Would he have done the same to a black man or woman? I'm going to guess that no, I think they would have gotten the ticket. So that is white privilege. And, you know, I mean, it's like people don't really think in those terms. It's like you said, they're like, oh, are you wealthy and white? And no, it's not about being wealthy. You can be completely struggling and you still have the privilege.
Yeah. It's like being born like with the winning lottery ticket if you're born white and male.
Yeah.
Because like it's basically what it is.
If
you're just like, you don't even realize like people are like, what is it? Martin Luther King Jr., he said, like, when you don't, people are born, they're like, oh, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, some people don't, aren't born with bootstraps. Right. Born, white and male, you have your, like, laces already tied up for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, you hit a triple and you, like, you like, whatever, you're born on third base and you think you hit a triple. That's the saying or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and then they'll be like, oh, how dare you say that? I've had a hard time in life. And I'm like, okay, I believe you. And I accept your struggle. But you have to understand that your struggle is, like, not the same as someone else's.
Right, exactly.
And that's when it comes to, like, selfishness and ego, and it all goes back to that.
Yeah, and, I mean, like if you have a celebrity, a child of a celebrity who gets an audition because their parents are actors, you know, getting the audition is, like, three quarters of the work.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, it's, if they, you know, yeah, they might have studied, but so did I. They might have, you know, worked really hard to get where they were. So did I. But they got this one extra advantage that I didn't get. And so they may work really hard at that job, but that job was never even available to me because I didn't have that extra help. And that's really all it is. It's just recognizing, you know, it's not taking away from anybody and it's not blaming somebody because I have white privilege. I don't deserve it, but I acknowledge it. And I would just prefer that we have a more equal society where nobody has an advantage based on the color of their skin or what their bank account is or anything. It's just, we should all have equal opportunities. I know that sounds like a pipe dream, but hey, we're progressive and that's what we're working for.
I know. It's not that difficult to understand.
No. Oh, well. Well, I guess, do you have anything to add before we go?
No, I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, I think we did. And I want to add something. This was my first, I've told everybody this on the first show that I did with Tina Cassidy. This was my launch for adding two new shows per month, two new free shows for a total of four. We're doing weekly shows. And then, you know, obviously this is part of my show. And so I forgot to plug in my microphone before this show. So this call has been recorded, but it probably doesn't sound as good as it would if I had remembered to plug in my microphone. So I've still got a little bit of learning curve, but you know, just keep this. That's why it might sound a little different than the first show, but just FYI, moving forward, I will hopefully remember to plug in my microphone, but I appreciate you talking to me. It was a great conversation and I'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Cool. All right. Well, take care and we will see you next time.
Sounds good. See you then.